Welcome to the Wisdom Circle. To subscribe or follow us on your favorite podcast platforms, please visit us at www.thewisdomcircle.com.
I want to bounce back to an earlier point that Tony brought up, and that's just about having allies and advocates and people that were your mentors. And, you know, I was lucky. I really was, because my first boss, Bruce Hudson, his boss, Mark Lamping, right, did not see gender as a, they just saw a person, right? Mm-hmm. Steve Beeline, same way. Tony Pontero, absolutely never treated gender differently. Looked for the person that could get the job done. Didn't matter. Did not matter, right? And so, you know, I was lucky from that perspective because, you know, Tony would bring me into a room with the commissioner of the NBA, with the commissioner of the NFL, and have me present. He would say, you do the sponsorship renegotiation presentation, and I'm going to sit here at the table, and I'm going to give you all the credibility in the world to stand up there in front of the commissioners or the senior vice presidents of marketing, mm-hmm. whoever it was. And mm-hmm. he gave me that credibility mm-hmm. by bringing me in. And, you know, I think people in leadership positions can never underestimate that power, whether it's a young male or a young female coming up the ranks. That act of giving credibility to a younger person is huge. It's huge. Yeah. And Tony, you gave me that credibility. You gave it to me so many times. I can't count how many times you did that for me.
No, that's nice to hear. And I think it's important. Again, it's an important lesson. I've been around since the AD days, you know, young people, but even now into their mid to late 40s. And I hate to put it on one part of the business, but I will, that work for teams, right? Professional teams. And they've never been, they have the bravado to help sell sponsorship, but no one's trained them to be a leader, to be a boss, to be ultimately the CEO. It's just go get the business, you know, this sort of macho-ness. And it's really sad because there's a lot of really good people that no one's really developing, which is a little bit of stimulus of why we wanted to do this podcast, is if no one's going to educate them, generalizing to some degree, maybe we'll help. I mean, and if I'm a young woman watching this, or a young male, because the principles, the one thing that I remember about you, a lot of things, is that Kathy always never played the female card, if you will. It was always, and you said it again a little earlier, do your job, do the work, people will respect you. You know, there's no, hey, I'm a woman, treat me differently, or I'm a woman, treat me better. Kathy, when there was a time where we were trying to find promotability in ethnic diversity, Kathy didn't say, well, by the way, my father's Mexican. She didn't want to be promoted that way, which says a lot. You know, she watched some other people raise their hand and said, I have 10% Latino in me, so you can promote me. When you probably don't even remember this. It's funny how people remember other things of other people's lives. When there was a time in some sort of corporate meeting where there was a thought about having a beer like the Virginia Slim cigarette. And for those that are younger, Philip Morris came out with a cigarette that was just focused on women. And Kathy said, don't pander to me. I can drink beer with the guys. You know, that's a negative connotation, that we need a weaker beer, a lighter beer, a can that looks more feminine. I can drink Bud Light just with the best of them, you know? And I always remember that because it was really what your focus was, and hopefully people are picking this up, is work harder than everybody else, do the homework, learn, don't use things to get somewhere, do things to get somewhere, and you will get respect and equality more than you'll ever know. And I also try to say to young people when I was coaching them, if you're in a bad place, right, get out of there. You know, if you have a really bad, you know, trust yourself. You're good, right? If you have a boss who does you do all the dirty work, won't develop you, is, you know, whatever the negative connotation was, get the hell out of there and go find someone that will, because it'll make your life and your career totally different. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, Tony. I mean, my motto was prove my value every single day on every single project. And that motto, that will never fail you. You know, it just won't. And, you know, you talked a little bit about just the fact that I never used the cards. I never played the cards. And I didn't. Because, you know, the people that I respected and the people that I looked up to and the leaders that I thought, man, I hope I can be like that person in the future, they didn't play the cards.
If you have, I'll throw it back to Ray, but maybe we can stay on this topic, or just to give you a little chance to breathe on, what are you seeing in sort of the world of sports and how it's presented, media, you know, the organic side of sport? You know, what are you seeing that's you like about it? What are you seeing that this is a disaster waiting to happen?
Is that question for Ray?
No, that's for you.
That's for me. Okay. So the one disaster that I am extremely worried about is what's happening with the NCAA and the players and the money, and it's dripping down into high schools now. And, you know, I really worry about that. I feel like, I know a lot of coaches that are going, it's impossible to, you know, because, you know, a team is built on culture, and a team is built on chemistry. And, you know, when players get together, it takes a while before to get those things put together. And then if the players are entering the portal every year and your best players are leaving. And I mean, for me, I really worry about sort of what that looks like in the future for college sports and even high school sports, because I think it's even dripping down into high school sports in certain states now.
Well, yeah, because these kids know, I mean, there are schools that have reached out to their parents before they're seniors. So I think that was right spot on. I think it's the biggest single disaster in sports right now. I mean, there was a team that got invited to a bowl game that couldn't field a team because the coach left and 20 of the players went with him. And so there was like nobody to play the game. Yeah. All for money, you know, through the portal. So it's like we talked earlier in the show about Netflix and Comcast. And I'll go back. Now I'll go a little old school, but I remember when the ACC had 9 teams from Maryland to South Carolina, and they asked us to put a plan together about a super conference. This was like 1999. They asked us to put this, and it was all this American way of making things bigger and more money oriented that is kind of now like it's blown up. Like it's just blown up because it's not a corporation, shareholders, a board. It's all these individual conferences. Auburn's in the ACC and Stanford's in the Big Ten. I mean, like, holy cow. So it's the biggest mess there is. And I've not spent a lot of time trying to figure out how they're going to figure it out, because I'm just like, so like, whatever. It's just awful.
Yeah. I mean, it's out of the box now. I don't know how you shove it back in the box. So
no.
It's sort of a mess. I mean, the other thing that I am enjoying profusely is the growth of women's sports.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. the growth of women in sports. You know, mm-hmm. that has just been, it's been awesome. I mean, it's not done yet. I'd still like to see a lot of women in the top jobs, you know, across everything. But I tell you, it's been fun to watch, and it's exciting to watch. And, you know, for me, when I reflect on it, it all started with Title IX. I mean, you know, it all sort of grew from there, right? So you get more college players. So now you get more high school and younger players interested in playing in college. So you grow your attendance. Now you get more women involved in sports. You know, now they they grow into professional leagues. Now they make a lot of money. Now they are coming back to invest. You know, Serena Williams and, you know, some of these female players are now coming back to invest in women's sport, not even the sport that they play, right?
Yeah.
And so now they're coming back to invest in women's sports. You get journalism, you know, advocates out there now, like I think it's called the Gist and a couple other ones that are really covering women's sport. You have sports bras, the bars. I mean, it's a real exciting, really exciting time for women's sport.
Well, it took a generation or two, I guess, of women playing. You talk about Title IX to come out of school and go looking for jobs and being able to do what you did, which was unique at the time, which is I'm not playing the card. I'm just going to know my stuff. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be smart and going to know what I'm talking about. And people who want to be in sports, I think there had to be a point where if you hadn't played sports or had no love for sports, it might have been like, why would I go work there? I'll go work somewhere else.
Right. Well, you got to see a path. You know, right. I was coaching at a soccer club here in St. Louis, and they wanted more female coaches. And I said, well, they got to see a path. You can't not have anybody on your board. You can't not have anybody in your leadership team that are women and expect women to want to come in and coach, because then they don't see a path forward. Like, then what? Right? So it's all about seeing the path.
Right.
So, you know, it took a while. You know, Title IX, I mean, it took a while, but it's really changed the face of things. I mean, Tony, remember going to do the first WNBA deal?
You know,
sitting in that conference room trying to, you know, talk about the WNBA. I mean, that was a long time ago, 1997 when they started?
Right after. And I think that's a you know, a good lesson for those that this history. And I may have talked about it in an earlier podcast, but in case someone didn't hear it, or if I didn't, but after the Olympics in 96, the women's team sort of was part of the conversation in a big way. And we were not, meaning Anheuser-Busch, an official beer of the NBA. So we went up there, Kathy and her team and myself, and we went up to the offices and said, we want to be your beer, the WNBA, not knowing what it was really going to look like. But we didn't wait for someone to put a proposal together and decide who they're going to go talk to. We took the initiative and said, here's the point of sale we would do. Here's the kind of support we would give you. Long story short, we became the official beer of the WNBA. But I think it's another lesson, which is, you know, football was really my sport I played in high school, but I did play a little basketball. And I had a coach who said, you know, if you wait for the ball to come to you, chances are someone's going to intercept it. But if you meet the ball halfway, you'll catch it. And it's sort of the same in business. You got to take the initiative, follow your vision, your company's vision, and go get something done. If you wait for somebody, it could get intercepted. We did the same thing with Dale Earnhardt Jr. You know, we had this very small relationship with the father, some hunting and fishing deal for $250,000. We hear Dale Jr. is going to race in a NASCAR car. We said, we want to be the sponsor. You know, we're not waiting for you to go sell it to McDonald's or Burger King or whoever. We're going to be the sponsor. So I think it's another, you know, lesson. And, you know, I'm not going to change, going back to the NIL, I'm not going to change probably people's greed, but things will start breaking, because when money becomes the ultimate factor and you're not worried about the brand and the quality and loyalty and all those things, it will break, you know, and then, I guess we should have seen that coming. Ray, why don't you ask another question, and then we'll probably get close to wrapping it up in the next 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, no, listen, it's been a great conversation. I was thinking about that. We went to the Met game last night. They played the Astros, so it was easy to root for the Mets because as a Yankee fan, I hate the Astros. And this third baseman ball was hit hard, a couple of hops, and it went past him. And I said to Peggy, and it goes back to what you said, and I want a good, that's the question I'll ask. Kathy, you got to play the ball. You can't let the ball play you. And this guy let the ball play him, and he missed it, right? So if he just sat there, excuse me, held on, he would have been fine. So to the point, for you in a career, how do you take that analogy? I guess you talked about it a little bit about I played the ball, which was I went in there every day. But there had to be, I mean, did you ever have a job you asked for that you didn't get? Was there a part of the company you wanted to work for that, you know, what did you do to overcome the hurdles would be the question. Because you can play the ball, but then there's also other ambitions you might have or other opportunities you might, or desires. Like, I like that part of the company better than this part. How did you overcome hurdles as a female who some guys might have said, you know, really? Like, we think you're doing great. But I'm not exactly happy here. And that's to Tony's point about telling somebody, if you're in a bad company, leave. I'm not saying you were in a bad company, but what if you were in a job that wasn't, were you always on a great path or did you get hurdles and disappointments?
There were a ton of hurdles. But, you know, you have to, two things. When you're given an opportunity, you got to see it through and you got to put your best foot forward and you got to take it. You can't be afraid of it. Right. And you got to learn from it. The second piece would be for me, you got to ask. Mm-hmm. You know, Tony wasn't sitting around thinking, okay, so and so, you know, who should I promote today? You know, you got to go in and ask because, you know, I saw the guys asking. I saw the guys interviewing for jobs. I mean, sometimes I was amazed. I was like, there is no way that guy can do that job. He is so qualified for that job. That is crazy. And he would get the job and I'd be like, that is nuts, right? So then so what I learned about that was you gotta ask. You gotta ask. Yep. And right. and you gotta be ready for a no. Because sometimes it's gonna be no. Right? And sometimes
how'd you deal with that? Did you ever get a no? I don't know if I can see you getting a no.
I got no's, and then, you know, you go back and you sort of figure out, okay, you know, what am I lacking? What am I not doing? What, you know, you ask the person. You know, it's communication, and you have to understand people's expectations, and you have to understand what they want you to do in order to be successful. And a lot of times people think they're doing the right job, but they're not. But you got to have a boss, too, that will tell you, will be honest with you. My bosses were always honest with me. You know, hey, you got to do this. You got to do that. If you want to get to the next level, you need to take this on. I know, you know, well, I've never done that before. That's okay. And, you know, you got to take it on and you got to be okay with failing. You know, so many people think that failing is the opposite of success, right? It's not. It's part of success, right? I mean, you hear that all the time. And, you know, you got to be open to that. You got to be open to failing because, you know, sometimes you learn the most when you fail and definitely remember it.
I always think we never learn anything when things are going great.
Yeah.
Because we think we're geniuses.
Yeah.
Right. And you have to be open because we're all leaders at some point even in the chain is as I said to someone, you say you have an open door policy. And your door may be open, but when you walk in the door, you don't have an open door policy because you don't want to hear anything negative. Kathy, we'll end with this. What's the one thing, or is there one thing that stands out in your career that you're the most proud of?
Oh, wow. It's two things, probably. I'm super proud that I went from intern to director of sports marketing. And, you know, I tell people I grew up in that industry and I really did. I mean, I started at 23 and then I left that job in my 40s to go on to the corporate social responsibility and corporate affairs job. And I'm super proud of that. I mean, I'm super proud that I came in as an intern and put the time in and the effort in and got to become ultimately oversee that group. The second thing that resonates for me, it was right at the end of my career at Anheuser-Busch, and we were trying to do like one last really big thing around, you know, the drinking and driving perspective and responsible drinking. And we launched a commercial called Friends Are Waiting. And we launched it as an internet, for internet only. And it graded so well against the things that, the emotional appeal and things like that for Budweiser. It was better than any other commercials that they were running at the time. They put it in football, and they put it in the football playoffs. It didn't make it into the Super Bowl, but it did make it, and it was an on the spot decision because it was received so well. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud that that little commercial that we launched for Global Beer Responsible Day ended up in the NFL playoffs and did unbelievable things for the brand Budweiser. And it's just proof that if you can get it right with the purpose work, you can really make a difference on the business side for a brand. And, you know, I think a lot of there's still a lot of people out there that maybe don't believe that the purpose work can really drive the business, but it can. It really can. You can find the right thing. It really can drive the business. And that was an example of it. And I was super proud of my team. And, you know, we were all just really happy about that. So, you know, kind of two things from both worlds.
Oh, no, that's great. And I'm glad you touched on that without knowing you would, because we didn't really give you much time to talk about the importance of know when to say when and don't drink and drive. And as you said, a lot of people are cynical, which is, you just do that so you can keep selling beer. But that really never was the intention. To keep selling beer in the right way. But it really is. The company took it very seriously, and you know better than anyone, having been in charge of it. Kathy, obviously we didn't overhype your appearance. You, as usual, wowed us. I won't speak for Ray, but what a great guest. Hope all of our listeners and viewers of the Wisdom Circle appreciate the knowledge you imparted, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you both.
Good friend.
It was really great to see you and talk.
Yeah, it's been a long time, Ray, so it was great to see you, and Tony is always I love spending time with you, so it was an easy decision to be a part of it, so thank you so much for having me.
Great, great. Same here. Thanks, Kathy.
Okay, thank you.